Psalm 55 tonight. Let me just read a few verses from the psalm. There's 23 in all, but this is such a great psalm. I love this psalm. David said this. He said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove." He said, "I would fly away and I would be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest." And we all say amen to that. And I'll tell you, if there's ever been a perfect psalm for tonight with the week that we've had and maybe the week that you have had, it is tonight. So on this last Wednesday in September 2020, now that it's arrived, we've been in a storm, as you already know, since March 13th, when they closed down, all the churches were asked to close, and just where we did live streaming. And now we look tonight at the storm that's in this nation, because America is indeed in a tempest. And boy, there's the protesting, there's the rioting, there's the murders, there's Democrats, there's Republicans, there was a presidential debate, and that's all I have to say about that. But we know this. The Christian, the true believer, knows that storms blow into your life and storms blow out of your life. We all experience them. Every one of us, storms come to us in all forms and all shapes, and they come when we least expect them. It could be a business problem, a storm, or finances, or marriage, or whatever. Right now, the storm that we're in, mask and social distancing, and our children learning from home remotely, and all the things that you're facing and I'm facing. We're not really told the exact background. Well, actually, we're not told at all the background of this great psalm. We know it certainly is dealing with David. He's in the midst of either life or death, and there's a horrible struggle going on. But David is in deep, deep anguish. And the reason is because he has been betrayed by his closest and by his best friend. So if we break down these 23 verses tonight, we can start off by verses 1 through 8. We look at David's anguish. And then from verse 9 to 15, we see David's anger. And then the third thing is in 16 through 23, we see David's anticipation. So David is going to open in prayer. He is praying to the Lord. There he is in a horrible, horrible storm in his life. And tonight, let's learn from David. Let's learn and see what David did in the midst of a terrible, terrible storm. So tonight's message, what to do in a storm, Psalm 55. It says, "To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David." So again, verses 1 through 8, 9 there is David's anguish. Look at it carefully, beginning in verse 1. David cries out to God, and he says, "Oh Lord, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me, hear me. I am restless," or "I'm filled with anxiety, I'm overflowing with anxiety in my complaint," and look at this part, and he says, "I moan noisily." When was the last time, if ever, you opened up in prayer like David did? He says, "Oh God, please come close. Please whisper your answer in my heart, into my ear, O Lord, because I am desperate and I need you. I need to hear from you now, this very second." He said, "I am moaning so much in my heart and my person." He says, "I'm like the moaning of the wind," if you will. And look at the reason. It says, "Because the voice of the enemy." And look at the next one. "Because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me." In other words, that horrible anger, these people that David is talking about, that is what I call a storm. David used those words, oppression and trouble and wrath and hate. He says, "Because of the voice of the enemy." Loved one, listen, we have an enemy. His name is the devil. He's the greatest deceiver in the history of mankind. Don't listen to his voice. Don't listen to the voice of the world or the voice of your flesh, especially the voice of your enemy. He'll be telling you in the middle of your storm or whatever's happening in your life, when you feel that you can't take anymore, when you feel that you cannot go on, when you feel that your strength is abated and you're just so weak you can barely stand up, Listen to what he'll tell you. Where's God? Where's the God that says he loves you? Where is he at? Listen, don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Remember what Jesus told us? He said, oh, my sheep, they hear my voice. They follow me. They will not follow the voice of a stranger, but they will flee from the voice of a stranger. That's who we are. We're the sheep of his pasture, and we need to do what the Lord tells us to do, loved one. He says, oh, my heart is not just torn to pieces. It's just not pained. David says, my heart is severely pained within me. He says, and the terrors of death, oh, they've fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me, or literally an overwhelming horror. Listen, David's pain is over the top intense. He's saying, I feel like my insides within me, my insides are being torn out of me. David says, listen, my entire being is shaking. It's trembling from fear and horror. David is overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by just reading that passage of Scripture. It's amazing how in some camps of Christendom, they would say right there that David, look at his confession, that David doesn't have any faith. That he's, why would he say he's overwhelmed or in horror? He's not trusting God. That's not true, loved one. David is trusting God because David is pouring his heart out to God. We all have conflict and storms in our life. No one is immune. And are you in a storm tonight? Listen to what it says in Nahum 1:3. It says, the Lord has his way in the storm. Think about that. God says, hey, a storm, remember, is something that is out of control. But God says, I have my way in the storm, your storm, because God says, I'm always in control. And it says, and the clouds are dust under our God's feet. Listen to me. No storm, no problem in life, nothing can stop the plan of God, the purpose of God, or any of the purposes, or the program of God. Listen, did you know that you are God's program? Yeah. The Bible teaches us in Philippians 1:6, what does it tell us? It says, being confident of this, that God, he who began a good work in us will complete it into the very day of Christ. I love the Bible because there's a promise, so many promises. It says in Jude 24, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. David is in a horrible storm. So listen to what he says. David said, so I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and I would be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. David is saying, I need wings like a dove. Have you ever noticed how fast a dove flies? Man, they zoom across the sky and so forth. They're so subtle, so quiet. David says, I just want wings like a dove. I want out of here. I need rest. And he uses a word, he says, escape, which is only used here in the Old Testament, which means a place of escape or like a place to run to, a shelter. We could bring it up to today's standard by saying something like this. Lord, I want to go rest right now in isolation in the wilderness. I want to go to Colorado. I want to be in a cabin. I never want to see another person as long as I live. That's in a sense what David was saying. He says, I need to escape. I need to fly out of here. This storm is too much for me. And sometimes we all feel that way. This is kind of what this week has been like. You know, listen, maybe we should never ask for wings of a dove, but maybe we should ask for wings of an eagle, that we soar above the storm and soar above the problems of this life. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:29 about God, it says, our Lord, he gives power to the weak. That means those that are worn out by the circumstances of this life, or worn out by the storms of this life, worn out because of the coronavirus or whatever, the accumulation of it all, day in and day out. And he says, to those who have no strength, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait, that doesn't mean I hope I'm, you know, Lord. No, this is confident expectation. This is faith. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. That's what we have to have tonight, loved one. Listen, rest from any storm at any time in your life, no matter what it is. That rest is never found in a location, and that rest will never be found in some sort or form of isolation, as David is saying. You say, oh, if I just had this better job or this new job, or maybe if I had the right husband or the right wife, or whatever you're looking for and praying for in your life, or you might even be saying, I need a new church and a new pastor. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, peace is not a location. Rest is not a location. No, peace and rest is a person. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is always going to be, if you turn to him, the peace in the midst of every storm that we face in this life. Jesus told us in John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Amen to that. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And you have overcome the world because you're in Christ Jesus, loved one. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 26:3, it says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. And it tells us why. Because we trust in him. You remember Jesus there in the gospel, one of the gospels, Mark or whatnot, and he was, the storm blew in, and Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, be peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Creation heard the voice of their creator, Jesus Christ. That's what we have to do. We have to hear his voice. We have to obey his voice if we're in a storm, especially if we're in a storm tonight. The Bible tells us that he calms the storm, Psalm 107:29. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. So that was David's anguish of heart. Now let's look at David's anger, beginning in verse 9 through 15. David cries out in prayer. He says, oh, destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I've seen violence and strife in the city. So David is actually praying, says, Lord, confuse them. Confuse the wicked people that have risen up against me. He says, Lord, the people in the city. Now, we assume that that city is probably Jerusalem, and it's evidently filled with violence is what he's saying. There's violence and strife in the city. He says, oh God, I pray, divide their tongues, like they have divided the city of Jerusalem. He says, day and night, look what they do in verse 10. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst or the very center of it. Destruction is in the center of it. Oppression, deceit do not depart from its streets. If there is a scripture in the Word of God that describes America tonight, it is that scripture right there. We are a divided nation. We are full of destruction and oppression. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. Christian, I hope and pray that you're praying for the healing of this nation. Because I'm telling you, it is in a mess. Not trying to be depressing, but you know what? The truth sometimes is, I had lunch with some people not too long ago, and we were talking about truth, and like I said a couple of Sundays ago, truth is not always comfortable. It doesn't always make you feel comfortable. We need to pray for this nation. We are in desperate times, but we're not a desperate people. We're the church that can never, ever be defeated. So David now tells us the true storm that he really is facing. Look at verse 12. He says, "For it is not an enemy." Say that with me. "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me." Well, then, David, who is it? He said, "Well, if it was an enemy, then I could bear it." He said, "I could handle that. If it's the enemy that's coming against me, I can fight that. I can handle that," he said. He says, "Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me." He said, "If so," he said, "well, at least I could hide from him, you know?" He says, "But it was you." I stop right there. David says, "But it was you." I don't know if the person was in front of him when he penned that. I don't know. When he's praying unto the Lord. But he says, "It is, but it's you." And I always say, "Okay, David, who is it? Tell us who it is, because we really don't know. You didn't tell us who it was. Who's your betrayer? Who's the one that's doing all this to you?" In other words, who's your Judas, David? He says, "But it was you." Watch this now. "A man my equal." In other words, a person that who we loved one another. We trusted one another. He was my equal and I was his equal and so forth. He was my companion, or literally David says, this person, whoever it was my best friend and my acquaintance. And look what they did. "And we took sweet counsel together." Man, in other words, we had great fellowship, great koinonia. You knew my every secret. You knew everything in my heart. I told you all of it. He says, "And we walked to the house of God in the throng," or into the congregation. I'm going to tell you something. What is worse than a false friend? What is worse than a phony Christian? Oh, gosh, Lord. I tell you, David said, "He was my equal. He was my friend. He was my companion. We grew up together," David is saying, whoever this person was. He said, "We prayed together. We sang songs together. We worshiped in temple together. And I trusted you. And when I trusted you, when I shared everything in my heart, when I thought you were my best comrade, my best friend, you put a knife in my back." And David says, "Oh, let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." Man, that is a tough word from the sweet psalmist of Israel. I'm so glad God does not think like David is expressing himself here. God wants everyone saved. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But that's what David said. He said, just go to hell. That's what he was saying. You know, to pour your heart out to someone that you trust. It's hard to find people that you trust today, even in the church sometimes, isn't it? Oh, that's a sad comment to make from this pulpit or any pulpit. But you know how sad it is, you know, to pour out your heart to totally love and to totally trust a false friend. That is heartbreaking. And that is a storm. He goes and he says here in his word again, "Let them go down alive into hell." Listen, what do you do to those that you love and that you trusted, that you considered your best friend, and they betray you? Are you like David? Do you say, "Man, as far as I care, God, send them to hell"? That's what David was saying. See, here's the deal. You have two levels that you can live on in this life. You can live on the natural level, or you can live on the supernatural level. I prefer to live on the supernatural, and I know you do too. What do we do then when this happens to us? Jesus told us, he said in Matthew 5:44, "I say to you, love your enemies." That's a command. That's not the emotion of love. He's saying, you know, where you feel and all that. This is the obedience, where you're commanded to love thy neighbor as yourself. And this is when you say, "Lord, what they did was wrong." And he said, and God says, "That's right. I don't deny your pain. I don't deny your suffering. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless those that curse you. I want you to do good to those who hate you. And I want you to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And we could keep going and say your best friend or whoever it was you trusted who was a false friend. He says, and if you do those things, that you may be then the sons of your Father in heaven. So what did David do after he said, oh Lord, send them alive down into hell right now? Look at the next verse and let's learn from David. Now watch this. This is David's anticipation now from verse 16 all the way to the end of the psalm. He says, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Loved one, that's faith. David says, I know what they have done to me. This my companion, my best friend, my acquaintance, who I worship with. We prayed together. We had lunch together. We had dinner together, whatever it was. The one I opened my heart to, and then he gutted me. He says, oh, Lord, I'm just going to call upon you. I'm praying to you, Lord, and you're going to save me. See, again, that's faith. David was certain not only that God would save him out of the storm, David was certain that the Lord would answer his prayers. Why? Because David knows no matter what he faces, no matter what storm he faces, no matter what circumstances he faces in this life, he knows that the Lord God is our only answer. So what does he do? In verse 17, he cries out and he says, you know what, Lord? He says, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray. I will pray to you, Lord, three times a day. And I'm going to cry aloud. And he says, you'll hear my voice. You'll hear my voice. Listen to me now. Prayer is our greatest weapon. Prayer is always going to be the work. Listen, evening, morning, noon. What does that speak of? It speaks of persistence. David says, I will not stop praying. He was persistent in prayer. And you know what we do so many? I see it over and over today. And you know this too, is that sometimes we give up in our praying right before the answer comes. It's the next day it's going to be there. But what do? We give up. We stop praying. Oh, loved one, don't do that. Listen, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:7. Jesus said, listen, ask and it shall be given unto you. Now, these are all the tenses there are keep on asking, keep on knocking, don't stop. It's talking about persistence. Jesus said, ask and it'll be given. Knock and you'll find. The door will be open. If everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. And that's exactly what we have to keep doing. The Bible tells us that we need to continue earnestly in prayer, vigilant in it, with thanksgiving. Why thanksgiving? Because God says, I'll answer your prayer. Listen, he hears our prayer. He hears the prayer of the righteous, and we are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the righteous of the Lord. Loved one, listen, don't ever, ever give up. The Bible tells us, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Jesus, in that great parable in Luke 18:1, he says, men ought always to pray and not faint, meaning never give up. You be persistent in prayer. Don't ever be discouraged. You see, you're either going to faint or you're going to pray. Praying is much, much better, loved one, than fainting. If you don't have any peace tonight, you know what the Lord tells you to do? He says in Philippians 4:6, he says, be anxious for nothing. Anxious. Don't let anything tear apart your heart. Don't let anything tear apart your mind. Don't let anything tear apart your home or anything at all. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And here it is. In the midst of your storm, if you'll do that, if you'll pray, if you'll don't be anxious about everything, but pray about everything, here's the promise of God. He says, and the peace of God himself, his peace, which surpasses all understanding. Nobody can understand that when you're going through a storm and you're there in your home and or in the workplace and they know that you're going through hell in your life. And they see you so calm. They go, we just don't understand. How can you remain so calm in this storm? I'll tell you why. Because God's peace, it says, oh, listen, it surpasses all understanding. And it says, and he shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our hearts, well, I was messed up. Our hearts and our minds, amen? Oh, listen, loved one, the two places where the enemy attacks. He says, I'm going to keep you in peace, but you've got to believe that. And then he says in verse 18, oh, talking to the Lord, he's redeemed my soul in peace from what? From the battle that was against me, from the storm that I'm going through. For there were many against me. God will hear. God will afflict them. Even he who abides from of old, Selah. Meaning literally he who sits upon the throne or enthroned eternally in the heavens. That's what David is saying. He says, because they, meaning the wicked, they don't change, he says. Therefore, they do not fear God. What did David just do? Let's learn from David. David let God handle the storm. You know, let the one who can still the storm handle your storm. David trusted God to resolve everything that he was facing. And he has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He's broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Talking about that lying friend that David trusted. He says, oh, he says he's a covenant breaker. And the words of his mouth, smoother than butter. But look at this next one. But war. War was in his heart. And his words were softer than oil. Yet they were drawn swords. Let me read this from another translation, verse 20 and 21. And this my best friend, oh, he betrayed his best friends. His life betrayed his words. All my life I've been charmed by his speech, never dreaming that he would turn on me. His words were like music to my ears, yet turned to daggers in my heart. Four times in this psalm, David spoke of his enemy's words. Oh, words hurt. I tell you, Christian, listen to me. You speak words that's going to build others up. Don't ever tear people down. Don't slander. Don't gossip. Those are all horrible, wicked sins. Run from those kinds of things. Let good things come out of your mouth that gives grace to the hearer, and put a little salt on it in the meantime too. So four times David spoke to his enemies about his enemies' words. That's the terrible pain of being betrayed by your trusted friend. So what did David do now? He gets to verse 22 and he says, here's what you need to do in your storm or when you're torn apart. When your life or your heart, your mind is flooded with anxiety, you don't know what to do. He says, cast your burden on the Lord. What a great word, David. He says, cast your burden. Don't carry your burden. He says, cast your burden on the Lord. And look what God will do. Not you. You can't do this, but God says, I'll do it. Look at this. He says, and he, not David, God, he shall sustain you. And not only that, God, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So whenever, are you in a storm tonight? Then lay the load of it on the Lord. He can handle it. He can still the storm. He knows exactly what you need in the storm. He knows how to get you out of the storm. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never, ever relax his hold upon you, loved one. And the result of it, when we're going through the storm and we look to God, it says, number one, he will sustain you. In the midst of the storm, he will be right there. And listen, he who stands in God always stands firm, loved one. He says in 1 Peter 5:7, remember casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God loves you. Listen, it says, but you, O God, you shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty, deceitful men shall not live out half their lives or their days. But I will trust in you. That is what we do in the storm, just like David did. He says, yes, I'm hurt, I am overwhelmed, I am broken, my insides are torn out, but I trust you, Lord. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct your paths. There's one person that you can trust that'll never let you down, never let you down, and that is Jesus Christ. You can trust the one who laid down his life for you, who died on the cross for you, the one who promised that he would never leave you. Listen, you can trust the Lord. So tonight, with all of that being said, I pray that you're ready to celebrate communion. And as you do, I pray that you turn in your Bibles there to, or you don't even have to turn tonight if you don't want to, but let me just read to you from 1 Corinthians 11:24, but feel free to do so. Tonight, we're going to celebrate communion. I pray that this is the last time in the history of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, that we will never celebrate communion again in an empty chapel. I know that you're at home, you have the wine, you have the bread and so forth, but listen to me. In that personal intimacy, maybe you're by yourself. You know, it's okay, the Lord is right there with you. But in the intimacy of your home, you know, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And let me say something tonight, and before we even partake, before we look back and look ahead and look within, loved one, listen, the church, we are the church of Jesus Christ. I ran across someone the other day, I love the Lord Jesus, but I just don't love the church. Listen to me, that is sin and that is wrong. No one, if you love Jesus Christ, you have to love his church, the church that he purchased with his very own blood. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. He's the head of the church. Oh, loved one, listen, you cannot say, well, I love Jesus, but I do not love the church. I'll tell you, there's so many Christians today, they don't have a church home. They might go from church to church, or they never serve, they never give, they never support God's work. And they never find their gifting. That's wrong. Oh, listen, we are God's purchased possession. Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. We are not our own. We are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. Every Christian should be committed to a local body of Christ. Every Christian needs a church home where they can fellowship and sing to the Lord and love the Lord and learn his word. But tonight, as we proclaim the Lord's table and our unity, we're a family, we're one in the Spirit, we're his body. We know that Jesus our Lord is not on the cross. We know that he's not in the tomb. We know that he is with us right now. Jesus is alive. He is present in our midst. The word of God says, and when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And then he said this, do this. When you hold that bread in your hand, when you break the bread at home and pass it, or however you do it, Jesus said, you remember me. Remember me and all that my death did for you. Look, in all the sin as far as the east is from the west. God has totally forgotten your sin. He said, you look back now and see everything that I did for you on the cross. He says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So when we partake of the cup tonight, do so in remembrance of him. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there's no forgiveness of sin. Oh, listen, no, we have been redeemed not with corruptible things, but incorruptible things. Oh, the precious blood of the Lamb. We haven't been redeemed or purchased with silver or gold or any nonsense like that, loved one. No, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And it says this. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we look back at all that Jesus has done for us, and we look ahead until Jesus, look ahead at the coming of the Lord. And it could be this year, it could be tonight, it could be whenever, the catching away. Everyone is gone, every believer is gone, that is. Jesus told us, he said in Matthew 24:42, he says, watch. In other words, keep awake, a continual expectancy. He says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. No. We're not like those who have no hope, loved one. We have hope. We have the blessed hope. Jesus, our Lord, one day, we don't know when, but he is going to come for us. And now the next one is very important. We looked back at what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We look ahead, proclaiming his until he comes back, returns for us, takes us home. But now we're going to do something that really is needed tonight. We're going to look within our heart. We're going to get rid right now of anything that shouldn't be there. Only God knows. I don't know, but God knows. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for all that you have done, all that you are now doing, and all that you will do. Everything that we do tonight, there in the peacefulness of their homes and me in the peacefulness of this chapel, all that we do now, we do in remembrance of our Savior who loves us and gave himself for us. And again, as I've said twice tonight, will never leave us nor ever forsake us. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for dying for me and as me. Thank you, O Lord, that we are seated with you in the heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, that we are accepted tonight in the beloved. Father, we now as the family of God, we partake of the bread of life together. Let us partake in Jesus' name. And Father, tonight, I'm so thankful for the family of God, the sheep of your pasture, my brothers and my sisters, the little ones, the older ones, all of them, Lord. And tonight, as we hold the cup of the new covenant in our hands, what a blessing and privilege it is, O Father. Thank you, Lord, that our sins are now as far as the east is from the west. We give you praise, O Lord, for the precious blood of the Lamb. So let us partake now, and as we do, let us do so in remembrance of him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us partake. Father, we thank you tonight in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for all those that are tuning in live. I thank you, Father, for those that will tune in later and watch it and send it out to other people, whatever is necessary, Lord. But thank you. What a blessing it is knowing that, Lord, that you will one day come again for us and that where you are, we will be with you forever and ever. Lord, bless all the homes tonight, all the people that are listening, wherever they may be in the world, in America, and again for this nation, please, Lord, bring revival, bring healing. Oh, Lord, do it soon. We need it now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all say amen and amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. I can't wait to see you until Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.